The question is, how big is the effect? And the last time, I wish I had, I should, of course, have checked these figures, but let me put it differently. The next time you hear a talk, ask the questions which I point out to you. Because I asked some questions the last time I heard a talk, and I can remember the answers, but I haven't checked them very recently, so I don't have any figures. But I, at least, asked the question. How much is the increase in radioactivity compared to the general variations in the amount of radioactivity from place to place? The amounts of background radioactivity in a wooden building and a brick building are quite different, because the wood is less radioactive than the bricks. It turns out that at the time that I asked this question, the difference in the effects was less than the difference between being in a brick and a wooden building. And the difference between being at sea level and being at 5,000 feet altitude was 100 times, at least, bigger than the extra radioactivity produced by the atomic bomb testing. Now, I say that if a man is absolutely honest and wants to protect the populace from the effects of radioactivity, which is what our scientific friends often say they are trying to do, then he should work on the biggest number, not on the smallest number, and he should try to point out that the radioactivity which is absorbed by living in the city of Denver is so much more serious, is 100 times bigger than the background from the bomb, that all the people of Denver ought to move to lower altitudes. The situation really is, don't get frightened if you live in Denver, it's small. It doesn't make much difference. It's only a tiny effect. But the effect from the bombs is less than the difference between being at low level and high level, I believe. I'm not absolutely sure. I ask you to ask that question to get some idea whether you should be very careful about not walking into a brick building, as careful as you are to try to stop nuclear testing for the sole reason of radioactivity. There are many good reasons that you may feel politically strong about, one way or the other. But that's another question. We are, in the scientific things, getting into situations in which we are related to the government, and we have all kinds of lack of honesty. Particularly, lack of honesty is in the reporting and description of the adventures of going to different planets, and in the various space adventures. To take an example, we can take the Mariner 2 voyage to Venus. A tremendously exciting thing, a marvelous thing, that man has been able to send a thing 40 million miles, a piece of the Earth at last, to another place. And to get so close to it as to get a view that corresponds to being 20,000 miles away. It's hard for me to explain how exciting that is and how interesting, and I've used up more time than I ought. The story of what happened during the trip was equally interesting and exciting. The apparent breakdown, the fact that they had to turn all the instruments off for a while because they were losing power in the batteries and the whole thing would stop. And then they were able to turn it on again. The fact of how it was heating up, how one thing after the other didn't work and then began to work. All the accidents and the excitement of a new adventure. Just like sending Columbus or Magellan around the world. There were mutinies, and there were troubles, and there were shipwrecks, and there was the whole works. And it's an exciting story. When it, for example, heated up, it was said in the paper, "It's heating up, and we're learning from that." What could we be learning? If you know something, you realize you can't learn anything. You put satellites up near the Earth, and you know how much radiation you get from the sun. We know that. And how much do they get when they get near Venus?